Hi, good evening, everyone. We were discussing still this idea of the opening line of the bracha, Tekab Shofar Gadol Cherusenu. We discussed the idea of the tekiah, the idea of shofar, last week. We discussed the idea of the shofar gadol, and Cherusenu, we discussed the idea of what it means that the shofar is gadol and what it means that it's for chirus, and we based largely our discussion on comments of the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, Perek Lamed Aleph, that says that the ayil, the ram that was used in place of Yitzchak at the Akedah, that says that all of that ayil was used for different things, none of it went to waste. And the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says that that what happened with its horns, so its horns were made into shofars, shofaros, and the left horn was the shofar that was blown at Matan Torah by Yikol HaShofar, Holy Chagadel, was the shofar of Matan Torah. And the second shofar, which the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says the right horn, which is gadol, which is greater, was made into a shofar and will be the shofar, which is the shofar blown for the good geula by Yomahu v'yitaka v'shofar gadol v'bara ovdim, right? That the shofar gadol, which will be blown to summon to herald the geula ha'asida, that was using the right horn of the ayil from the Akedah. And we discussed last week how to understand what the significance of that. We discussed the idea of the chirus that came at Matan Torah and the chirus that will come through Geula, and why one is referred to as being greater than the other. And the basic idea that we discussed was the idea that the chirus of Matan Torah was that the chayrus of the individual, which enables the individual to act upon his ratzon, removes the mafri, the internal strife that a person has, and allows the person to come to harmony with himself, and therefore enables him to follow his own internal ratzon. That's, so to speak, the chayrus of the individual. And that the chayrus of geula is the chayrus of the entire bria, that the entire bria is brought under the symphony of Ratzon Hashem, of being driven towards Ratzon Hashem, and that's greater, that's the absolute tikkun, the absolute resolution of everything, which is that now everything, the entirety of creation, is directed towards this revelation of Hashem Echad. That was basically what we discussed. So I want to now go through a piece from the Ramchal in Maimar HaChachma, which is the Ramchal's essay about the Tfilos of Rosh Hashanah and some other aspects of Rosh Hashanah, but primarily about the Tfilos of Rosh Hashanah. It's a rather short essay in its entirety. But the Ramchal, in his discussion of Shofaros, really discusses the idea of what the Shofar is, and the Ramchal there does not overtly reference the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, but is quite clearly working with this the idea of this Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, of the idea of the shofar of Matan Torah and the shofar of the Geula Ha'asida. So I'm not normally careful to read things inside when we. When we discuss things, I'm not normally so makpid to make sure we read things inside, but the ideas that we're going to be discussing tonight are somewhat esoteric, and therefore I try and understand this piece in the Ramchal and relate it back to how it ties into our discussion here. But so I wrote down all of the sources that we're going to quote tonight. We're going to read inside, so it's a little bit more tedious than what we normally do. I apologize, but I just wanted to be very careful with it because we'll call it somewhat sensitive or somewhat esoteric material. So the Ramchal in Maimar HaChachma, so he says, Segulas HaShofar B'Tkiyaso L'Mata the koach shel rasho lamala, the segula, the nature, the innate property of the shofar, in its tekiah and blowing it lamata down here, the koach shel rasho lamala, and the power of its shoresh, of its source above, who is lahachzik hatov ulichapos harav, lichapos harav, this is to and strengthen, to reinforce tov, and to subdue ra. V'tireh shemeachar cheto shel Adam HaRishon. We can see that after the sin of Adam HaRishon, hine nisariv hatov bera, v'nichbash tachtav, that good and evil got mixed up, and good became somewhat subjected under evil, or mixed together, and it created, in a certain sense, that good was now subdued under the koach of Ra. This is the idea of Matan Torah. Rambam talks about this, Nefesh HaChaim talks about this, that before the hate of Adam HaRishon, Ra was something which was external to him. The Rambam describes it as that the Yetzer Hara was something which was, he had, so to speak, rational decisions, not moral decisions. He had true and false decisions, and after Chet Adam HaRishon, it became right and wrong decisions. It's not false to not do what Hashem says. It's bad, but bad it doesn't mean nonsensical. It became that Ra became something which was internalized, and became a mixture, it became unclear the difference between Tov and Ra, and through that, Tov becomes somewhat subdued to Ra because they're mixed together. Ubizman haMatan Torah. At the time of Matan Torah, hine yatsa haTov mitoch haRa v'nisgaber v'shalat. The koach of Tov left from under the strength of Ra, or from the mixture of Ra, and got its own dominion. The amnam lo yigia dain lios hu kovesh hasara tachtav. It did not reach the point where Tov overcame Ra. Aval higia latzeis mimasaro liskazi v'atmo. But Tov reached the point where it left the clutches of Ra and was able to stand on its own. V'nishar hara nifrad mimenu omid bivnei atzmo. And Ra was now on its own. There were two separate independent entities. Ra was separated from Tov. Ra is on its own, and Tov is on its own. Ach la'asid lavo, but in the final geula, hine yishtalim hatikon hazeh, this tikon, this reparation will be completed, v'hatov yichbosh esara lagamrei, and the good will conquer the bad entirely, v'yihatov sholit levado, and good will be the only power which is in play. V'amnam, however, hachizot harishon shenas elatov, the first reinforcing, the first strengthening of Tov, which is that point that happened at Matan Torah when it separated off on its own, Nasa al yidei hashofar de Matan Torah, was affected through the shofar of Matan Torah. V'hu inyan vayhi kol hashofar. That's the idea at Matan Torah, that vayhi kol hashofar. V'hashlama satikun la'asad lavo. And the completion of this tikkun is going to be in the future, shehatov yenatzeach nitzachon gamor, that Tov is going to win a final eternal victory, gam hu yeh alidei shofar, that's also going to happen through a shofar, v'hu inyan yitaka b'shofar gadol, and that's the idea that the pasuk says, v'yomahu yitaka b'shofar gadol, that the great shofar will be sounded, u'lefi shetikkun zeh yeh gamor, Masha Ohio Matan Torah, because this tikkun will be complete, will be final, which was not at Matan Torah, Nikra Shofar Gadol. So therefore it is called Shofar Gadol, right? Very clearly the Ramchal seems to be basing himself from this Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the two shofaros from the Ayo of the Akedo, one was the left, smaller one, was the shofar of Matan Torah, and the right one, the larger one, was the shofar of, it will be the shofar of the Geula. So the koach of the shofar is to strengthen, let's just repeat the words, and we'll try and understand what this means and put it all together, but is to strengthen the force of Tov and to vanquish Ra. And this is done through the shoresh of the shofar, that's what the Ramchal started with, that this is the source of the shofar. At the time of Matan Torah, it happened partially, and it will be completed lasid lavo. So basically what the Ramchal tells us, that the shofar has this innate nature to it, connected to its root, its source, whatever its source is in the spiritual world, and through that it does this function that it causes the Tov, the good, to overcome the forces of Ra. So at the time of the Chet of Adam HaRishon, the Koach of Ra was Nisgaber, it overcame, and Ra became mixed into the Adam. So that's the bracha that we're talking about. This is this is our discussion. It's Tekabe Shofar Gadol, right? All right. So
I figured. I guess. Right. I kind of forensically back into it.
So the Ramchal says that at that point, at the point of Matan Torah, he says Latzeis Mimasar Lischazik LaAtzmo. Tov was able to leave the trap, the clutches of Ra, and was come its own. At Matan Torah, Tov separated from Ra, and this is what we described in the previous weeks, that what we described is the chayrus of the individual, that the chayrus of Matan Torah is the chayrus of the individual, the ability to overcome his own yetzer and to follow his true ratzon, that we said that the person within himself now becomes harmonized, becomes able to overcome the internal turmoil and to follow his true ratzon. That was the chayrus of Matan Torah, was when Tov within the person became something which on its own within the person in a microcosm that it found its place. But that was only separating the Ra. The Ra is still present, external to him. There's still the entirety of creation is still not reached that point, but the Matan Torah reached the point where Tov was able to function within its own context, which is meaning within the person, that he's now reached a point of what we described as overcoming his internal struggles, coming to an internal unity and being able to follow his true ratzon. The Geula Asida, the final Geula, the Ramchal says, that Tov will overcome and overpower the Ra. This is what we described as the universal chayrus of the complete removal of all of that which distracts from Ratzon Hashem, that the entire Bria becomes united or unified, directed towards a revelation of Ratzon Hashem. That's the chayrus, the greater chayrus, which is when Ra is eliminated. That's when everything, the entirety of creation, becomes an expression of Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. So that's step one. So what we want to try and understand is, what is the koach of the shofar that the Ramchal talks about, and what is the shoresh of the shofar? So we're going to go through some other sources of more Kabbalistic nature. The one of them is the Yesod V'Shoresh HaAvoda, and the other one is Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver and the Siach Yitzchak. So the Yesod V'Shoresh HaAvoda in Shah HaEison in Parag Gimel writes, read it, also wrote it down, Ki HaBora Ein Sof Baruch Hu Baruch Shmo Zichro La'ad Bar Olamos Elyonim Kedoshim La'ein Ketz V'Tachlis. Kadosh Baruch Hu created an endless amount of worlds, of spiritual realms, or of realms, including spiritual realms and this realm, the physical realm. Uba'olamus ha'hem yesh olam echa nikra shofar. And in those supernal, upper, lofty worlds, there is one world which is called shofar. The olam zeh hu sod ha'tshuva. That world is the sod, is the concept, is the source, the root of tshuva. V'tzivanu yotzreinu Uborenu Yisbach Shemo V'Yisalad Begodol Rachmanuso Aleinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us in His abundant mercy Litkoa B'Shofar Bayom Rosh Hashanah, to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. V'az Kesha'anu Tokim B'Shofar Olam Zeh, when we blow the shofar in this world HaTachton U'Me'orim Libenu B'Tshuva Shleim V'Amitis, and we arouse ourselves, we awaken ourselves to complete tshuva, baze anachnu me'orim olam ha'elyon hakadosh nizkar la'el hanikra gam kein shofar. We, through our blowing of the shofar down here, we somehow activate, we arouse, we awaken this olam, this spiritual world up above, the olam of tshuva, the olam which is called shofar. So the shofar, our shofar, is me'orim, it elicits this Olam Elyon of the same name, and the Shoresh of the Shofar, the root of the Shofar, is its connection. That's what the Yesod Shoresh Avodah is telling us, that's this connection to this lofty spiritual world, which is also called Shofar. So this is the next step. The Siach Yitzchak, or Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, in his Drush L'Shabbos Tshuva, writes, V'hu Yisbarach Berachamav Hamarubim Nasan Eitzel Yisrael Litkol B'Shofar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in His abundant mercy, He gave the advice or the strategy to the Jewish people to blow the shofar. Le'oler or Elyon Gavol Me'od Mimakom Elyon, to arouse this divine light from a very high place. Asher Sham Ein Rishus L'Satan Lalos. He says this is a world which is so, this is a spiritual sphere or plane which is so lofty, so high, that it's a place which is above the ability of the Satan to reach there. V'hu Olam HaTshuva. And that is the world of tshuva. I mean, this olam that the shofar reaches, which we were told a moment ago is called the olam ha-shofar, is also called the olam ha-tshuva. That's the sham ha-gamkein nesinas ha-Torah l'Yisrael. And that world was also the source of matan Torah, of the giving of the Torah to the Jewish people. V'lachein ba'es matan Torah az nitchar ha-satan v'halachlel. He says, and that's the reason why at the time of matan Torah, it says in Navi that at the time of Matan Torah, the Satan ran away. The Satan ran away because the Torah, the Shoresh of Matan Torah, was from a spiritual sphere that the Yetzer Hara, that the Satan, has no tfisa, has no grasp, no effect on, no dominion over. The Lachain Nasna Torah Bekolos Bekol Shofar Chazak Ma'od. Therefore, the Torah was given with these great powerful shofar blasts. Lachain Bekol Rosh Hashanah Kisha Misorer Kitrug HaSatan. Therefore, every Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin. It's the day. It's the anniversary of the original sin, by which I mean the first sin, right? It was the day on which Adam Rishon was created on Chaf Hei Elul. I'm sorry, the world was created on Chaf Hei Elul. Adam Rishon was created on Rosh Hashanah, so he was Chote on the day on which he was created. So the first sin happened on Rosh Hashanah. On that day, every year, the Satan comes to prosecute the world for its sins. It's the spiritual cycle. That point is the point of din. Kimi shahayav osu yom shenivra Adam Arishon, just like on the day when Adam Arishon was created. V'chata v'higbir asitra achalem ma'od, and he sinned, and through that he increased the influence of the, let's call it, the dark forces. Nitztavino litkol b'shofar. On that day we were commanded to blow the shofar. La'orer or ha'elyon ha'gadol hazeh la'achniah ha'satan, to awaken, to arouse this lofty spiritual energy to lower the satan. V'kol sitra achadilei shemisham ha'chirus ha'gadol, because from that world comes the ultimate chirus. V'lachein kishashomea kol shofar b'rosh hashanah HaSatan Mizbael. That says, the Siach Yitzchak, is why we have this idea that when the Satan hears the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, the Satan gets all confounded. He gets all very, very worried and loses his cool and loses his bearings, and so that disrupts his ability to present the Kitrug, to present the prosecution against us. So why is that? Because when he hears the shofar, why does that happen? Because shemitznotzeitz oso ha'ara shagorem lebitulo. Because that spiritual light, which is the source of his eventual demise, starts to light up. Kemosha yia la'asad lavo, as it will la'asad lavo in the eventual future, the shofar is going to awaken that olam, that source of spiritual energy, and that's going to be the source which comes and eliminates the Satan. So that, by every year when we blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, is some element, some small degree of awakening that energy, that spiritual world. And the Satan senses that. He feels, he's able to detect sparkling of the root of his eventual demise, and that gets him all uneasy, and that's why the Satan is unable to properly present his kitrug on Rosh Hashanah. A couple of things I wanted to go back to what we just saw before we move on, but the other question?
I can hold it.
Okay, fine. So
I'll say it, but it's the more the question is. I had a Rebbe who wants to ask us, Rav Bresler. It says, Avodah Mayinu, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Imah Ha'atziyanu, Yom Tzitzrayim, Adayin Hayinu, Avodah Mitzrayim, that we would still be Avodah Mitzrayim. So he said, why is that possible? Because there have been so many revolutions since then. There have been revolutions, American Revolution, Russian Revolution, all these revolutions.
Right.
So surely, eventually, there would have been a slave revolt. They would have repelled it. So everyone tried to answer the Rebbe, and no one could get the answer. Finally, the Rebbe of Yosef said it. Does anyone who doesn't understand Hebrew?
No, we're good, we're good.
Who am I learning? Shadif Ne Yitziyat Mitzrayim, Lo Hayachir Be'ilam. Lo haya ha machshava, the concept, machshava, the concept of chirut. I don't know if it's a word for it. The concept of chirut did not yet exist in the Olam. So, if they're not for Yitzhak Mitzrayim, the first evidence of chirut, there would have been no other revolution. So, what you've added to this tonight, what you're saying is that chirut that Rabbi Bessler told us about would have not happened. So therefore, there would have. Since the concept of Chayrut wouldn't have existed in the Olam, there would have been no other revolution. So what you said tonight is really amazing. Is that Chayrut was not the Chayrut of the Yitziyah of a Chayrut. That the real Chayrut came not by leaving, by revolting, but the Chayrut of accepting, the Chayrut was acceptance of Torah and Har Sinai. The Rebbe didn't say that. Your part here is that you're saying that the chayrut of Kabbalah Torah. That's what I'm hearing. Anyway, maybe I'm switching it too far.
I didn't realize it said Chazal say.
That the chayrut of the Tziyah was not the leave, that not the leaving of the Avodah. Not the leaving. Yes, it was the leaving of the Avodah. Okay, but the chayrut from that Avodah. But going toward the Omachut, Chayrut me'avada, Kabbalah of Omachut.
Right. So the Chazal really say that. Chazal say that the pasuk says that the luchos, the dibros were charus al haluchos. Chazal say that I'll take charus el chayrus. Mikan amru ein ben chorin el misha osik b'torah. That it's chayrus al haluchos. That the luchos are the source of all chayrus, and there's no such thing as a ben chorin.
No,
that real.
There has to be some malacha.
Right. So the one thing I wanted before we go on, we have more to see before we can put everything together. But the one thing that I wanted to just focus on was this idea that, I mean, there are a couple things that are very much in terms of everything that we've been discussing the past few weeks that emerge from this. But just the one part point of that he says that Misham Achirus Agadol, that from that Olam, from that highest world where the Satan has no ability to affect it, that's where Chayrus HaGadol, that's where Chayrus comes from. That's the same idea that we're talking about, that this freedom from the Yetzer Hara, or freedom from the influence of anything which takes away from the pure Ratzon Hashem of existence, that's what real Chayrus is. And the Olam HaTshuva, which is the world which is unaffected by anything that can smudge it, that can ruin it, that can degrade it, that's the ultimate source of Chayrus, is a world which is unaffected by anything other than just the Ratzon Hashem. But so, just to put together what we just saw, so the Koach of the Shofar, says the Siach Yitzchak, is to the root of the Shofar we saw, is that the Shofar is somehow tied spiritually to this supernal Olam, this world, this sphere of the Shofar of Olam HaTshuva. And the Koach of the Shofar is to awaken the spiritual energy of that Olam, which is above the domain of influence of Ra in the world. And this energy is the source of the eventual removal of Ra in its entirety. So one more step. The Siach Yitzchak in the same place in his Likutim there, says that the inyan ha-tshuva hu, the idea of tshuva is, the concept of tshuva is giloi or sidur abriya lefi ha-madrega ha-yoser elyon, is a revelation of light of creation of the, on the highest level, the highest degree, a revelation of this spiritual energy of the highest order, she'en lefi sidur ativi, which is not part of the regular, the natural order of the world. Rak v'bechina sidur be'elef hashvi. It follows the order of the 7,000, which means the time of Olam Haba, the time, as right, you say this world is 6,000 years, and then the in the 7,000, that's the time when there will be Tchias Mason or Olam Haba. This light exists on that level, on the exists in that, in the framework of that mode of existence. Shekasher niftach or hazeh, that when the world, when this light is revealed, when this gate, is channel is opened, az hakol shav lemekoro, then everything will return to its source. Umisbatel koach hara hanimtza ba'olam, and at that point, the koach of ra, the power of evil, which is found in the, which exists in the world, will be nullified, will be eradicated. So, at the point when this light from this upper world is revealed, is opened, at that point Ra will be eradicated. So that's going to happen, it says, is the Yesod of Elef Hashvi. What? Yeah, this is the Siach Yitzchak. The Siach Yitzchak was Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver, was a Talmud of the but we started with the Ramchal, but just now he's just quoting the Siach Yitzchak.
I'll
try one more time. So he basically is explaining that we have this higher world called the Olam HaTshuva, which the shofar is connected to, some is spiritually connected to, and La'asad Lavo, that's at the end of the natural order of the world, that...
What about tshuva in the interim, before the end of the world? If you want to do tshuva now, you say tshuva at the very end of time?
No, so that's the ultimate source of tshuva. And any tshuva that a person does, I was going to get to this in a minute, but we'll jump to this now. Nefesh HaChaim talks about this in Shar Aleph of Nefesh HaChaim, that the real source of tshuva is connecting back to a spiritual source which is unaffected. You need to do tshuva from chataim, from misdeeds that a person did. So they need to do tshuva from that. What they've done with their misdeeds is they have caused spiritual damage. They've caused a spiritual sullying of some part of their spiritual makeup. And the only way they can fix that is that the Einha Asur Moti Afel Mimasaro, that the prisoner doesn't get himself out of prison. You need to basically reach back to a point which is unaffected by those actions. And that's what the Olam HaTshuva is. The world of Tshuva is a world which is above the ability of our actions to affect it. It's beyond the effects of our deeds in either direction. That's a world which exists as a pure, the Olam HaRochni, which is only just pure, let's just call it for now, Giloy Hashem, Giloy Ratzon Hashem, that, and it's connecting back to that world, the Nefesh HaChaim says, brings down a spiritual energy, which, to put it in our terms, we'd say, flushes the whole system. You've brought down this flood of pure spiritual energy to reconstruct your spiritual system. And that's what tshuva is. Tshuva is, which is what we're about to focus on, is that it's shav limkomo, limakoro. It's a return to your origin. It's pressing a spiritual reset button when you do tshuva. It's not just that you have, you know, you when you do something wrong, you know, you mess something up and you fix it. Now it's fixed. Tshuva is not like that. Tshuva, you've caused that which is natural, which is according to the regular order of things, is impossible to fix. You've caused irreparable damage. And the gift of tshuva is the ability to remake, to reconstruct that from scratch. And that's what the Nefesh HaChaim describes, is that tshuva is not done just by wiping off the hate that was done. you have to reconstruct that which was spiritually destroyed, and that's done by reconnecting to a point of existence which is untouched and unaffected by what you messed up. And that's the source of all tshuva. And ultimate tshuva, or the ultimate return, which is going to be the Geula Hasida, when the entire world is returned to Ratzon Hashem, that's going to be through the koach of that Olam HaTshuva. No. That's the root of the concept of tshuva. But tshuva can be done at any time. You can connect to that world. And every Rosh Hashanah, when we blow the shofar, we're connecting to that world. So during the whole year, there's Rosh Hashanah is just like we'll give you an example. We'll give you an example with where you're talking about Kairos coming into the world. On Pesach there is an additional influx of the spiritual energy of Kairos that comes into the world. But on Shavuos there's an additional energy of Kabbalah Satorah that comes into the world. And on Sukkot is an additional energy of Simcha that comes in. And now, does that mean that the rest of the year there's no such thing as Chayrut, and as the rest of the year there's no such thing as Simcha? No, but there's an additional that is particularly available, particularly strong, and it's accessible. It's what I'm looking for, it's particularly accessible at that part of the year. But certainly, during the whole year, a person could do tshuva. Rosh Hashanah is the time, and Yom Kippur also, the time which are particularly prone, appropriate for tshuva, because it's the time at which tshuva is the most accessible. But that's something which. But any time a person does tshuva, they're connecting back to that spiritual plane. On Rosh Hashanah, you have special access to that spiritual plane through the shofar. And La'asad Lavo, we have the ultimate access to that spiritual plane is when that olam is, so to speak, opened, and it's completely, the entire world is refreshed, is renewed through that koach from the olam HaTshuva. So the idea tshuva means, the word tshuva means to return, and that's what he says, it's shav l'makoro, and it's affected by reconnecting to this most primal olam, which is uninfluenced by Raz, uninfluenced by anything that we can do to affect that world. So we can try and understand now what we started with for now. Hope we don't have to try and rush through the end, because it's going to make things not so coherent. But going back to what we started with, that the function of the shofar, the Ramchal said, the function of the shofar is to be magbir the tov, is to strengthen, to reinforce the tov, and to subdue and vanquish the ra. The shofar connects back to this primal olam, this primal spiritual existence, which is unaffected by ra. And this olam is called, in the Kabbalistic terminology, is also referred to as the Alma Dechira, which means, which is Aramaic for Olam HaChiros. It's Chiros from any other influence other than Hashem's primal Ratzon in creation. That world remains exactly as it was created, is unaffected by anything that happens in the world. That world remains an exact reflection of the Ratzon Hashem that created it. That world represents unaffected, unadulterated, the pure Ratzon Hashem. And the shofar has the ability to connect back to that olam, and bring, that's what it brings, chiros, it brings this freedom from other influences, because you're connecting back to a world which is unaffected by any other influence. To try and just put this all together with what we've been discussing, this all connects back to the idea, to bring this down into our terms. The idea that we developed, I'm not going to go back through it, but the idea of tekiah and the idea of shofar, which we've been developing, is that the koach of the shofar, we discussed the word shofar, there was the word shefer, which means harmonious beauty that comes from harmony. The ability of the shofar, the function of the shofar, is to create harmony, is to unify everything under the central banner of Ratzon Hashem. Shaser. To put everything under that central concept of Ratzon Hashem. Hold on a second. I'm sorry. I don't want to run out of time. Just 1 second. But then we coronate Hashem as Melech with a shofar. That's what we say. That being Mamlech Hashem, the day of Rosh Hashanah, is the day that Hashem becomes Melech, the day of the coronation. That's done with the shofar, because that's the shofar is the idea of crowning Hashem, making the entire world, the entire creation, all of existence, uniting everything under His dominion. And that is the Bechina, that's the aspect, the concept of what Elef Hashvi is, the 7,000, the idea of 7, we discussed many times, 7 is the idea of Malchus, the 7th sphera is the sphera of Malchus, and the idea of Malchus, the idea of 7 is to unite everything that came before it. That's why Malchus is not just the 7th thing on the list. You look at the list of the Pasuk says L'cha Hashem Agdula Gvura, right, says list the first 6 spheros, and then separates off again L'cha Hashem HaMamlacha. It's in its own category, because it's not just the 7th on the list, it's what comes after the other 6 and unites them and puts them together, creates something out of, unifies them into something more. That's the idea of Malchus. Malchus is kolel everything, it unites everything, gathers everything together into one entity. That's the role of a king we discussed. The idea of a king is that he takes the ragtag group of individuals and makes them into a nation, makes them something what they were before. They're united under one central concept, and that's the idea of Hashem being Melech, is that everything is now directed and part of Malchus Hashem, of being in the context of Ratzon Hashem, and everything is unified in that one, in under that Malchus. That's what it means that Hashem is Melech, is that same idea of unifying everything, creating harmony out of creation in the singular focus of Ratzon Hashem. So Hakol Shav LeMekoro, that this world created, everything returns to its source. Everything returns to its origin. Everything is brought back to this central point of unaffected, unadulterated Ratzon Hashem. Last point here, and this we'll stop, and then the question that you wanted to ask, the shofar creates the bittul of Ra. That's what we're discussing. The shofar is what awakens this bittul of Ra. The shofar creates this brings about the state where there is no more Ra, there is no more anything other than, there's anything in opposition to Ratzon Hashem. The ultimate shoresh of Ra, the ultimate root of Ra, is separation, is the apparition of a reality outside Ratzon Hashem. The idea, we say, the shoresh of Ra, Amalek, the koach of Safik, the koach of the possibility that Hashem is not in charge of everything. That the idea, that's the source. I'm not going to go into all of the Kabbalistic sources, but they talk about that the shoresh of Ra was the idea that there was room, there was the possibility of dominion other than that of Kadosh Baruch Hu. The idea that there could be a separation of powers, a lack of Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad, that's the source of Ra. And the ultimate bittul of Ra, the ultimate nullification of it, comes through the shofar. The shofar says that no, everything is Echad, everything fits under that rubric of Ratzon Hashem, everything is in the context of that one central unifying factor, the entirety of creation. Everything that to us now seems like it's haphazard and chaotic is really all exactly 100% bidiyuk, part of that ultimate dominion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, exactly as He wanted everything to happen. Everything fits under that one picture. Last point, we discussed that the idea of the shofar and trua and tekiah, as we're talking about. Trua is the fragmented sound, is the sound that's broken up, comes from, has the shoresh of Ra, right? The shoresh, the letters, the root letters of the word teruah, is Reish Ayin, is Ra. Truah is the sound that's broken up. That's what the Shoresh of Ra is being fragmented, is being broken up. The source of Chayrus is the Tekiah of the Shofar, is the Tekiah, the single, solid, unified blast, that one thing which is all one piece, which is from the Shofar, which is the idea of Shofar, bringing everything together. That's the source of ultimate Chayrus, of ultimate freedom, of removing all of the distractions, everything that removes from just the focus on Ratzon Hashem, from that one singularity of purpose of creation, is the Shofar is what brings that about. The one question we have left to answer, which we'll leave off till next week, is what does this all have to do with the Akedah? We started with the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, who says that the two Shofars came from the two horns of the aisle of the Akedah. So the last point we're going to have to discuss is how this all fits into the Akedah.